And now, I want to hear about you. How long have you been doing this work? How long have you been working with refugees and asylees?
So I've been working with refugees, called whatever they're called in their local area, since 1985.
Uh-huh.
24 years of that, from 85 until 2008, that was overseas. 20 years in Venezuela, 4 years in Thailand, and came here in 2008 to Las Cruces. Our oldest son was getting his doctorate degree at the university, and we were bringing our youngest, because we raised our kids doing this, you know, and bringing our youngest to go to college. He graduated from high school in Thailand, and so he was going to New York, but for us that was close by to be here because we were on the same side of the world. And so we came for 6 months to take some furlough time and be here, and looking for a little job, which I always did during furlough time to keep my skills up, make a little extra money, fill the crate, and go back overseas, and saw this border. And we realized that the same statistics, and I'm not talking asylum seekers here, I'm talking general population of the border, was the same statistics that we were seeing in Venezuela and in Thailand. And so the tremendous need along the border, and realizing that we had some skills that we had learned that maybe we needed to stay a little while and see if we could be of help. And that was 15 years ago. So we're still here. I learned how to do this work in Venezuela. Venezuelan doctors taught me this. And at the time, we were taking care of Colombians running from Pablo Escobar and the drug cartel in Colombia during those years, if everybody can remember all that chaos. People were coming in from the islands, the Caribbean islands, Grenada, Haiti, if you remember Duvalier, Papa Doc, and Baby Doc, and all the chaos of that, people running for their lives. We used churches and schools. I never paid anybody anything. It's all volunteers. Churches and schools have their parts of their facilities vacant for different parts of the week. And so we would look at communities, and I worked with the public health officials, met the Secretary of Health where I was, like within 6 months of getting there, and we began to be friends with their family, and here we go. And that's how I wound up into this. We needed to leave Venezuela. Things changed. We were there for the before, the during, and the after of all the political upheaval in Venezuela, and the point came when we knew our presence endangered Venezuelans, because we were the hot button. Mm-hmm. And so we were always guests, and it was time to leave. And so we went to Thailand, and then we took, you know, we helped people from, if you just think of where Thailand is geographically, and all the places around with Laos, Vietnam, China, North Korea, all these countries around there. Thailand is kind of a safe haven. People want to get to Thailand. Mm-hmm. And so I worked for an international school. I was health director for children humanitarian aid workers that were caring for these folks. So I was a little step back there, but caring for these folks coming out into Thailand, running for their lives as well. Mm-hmm. Worked with the Thai medical health care system there, and learned other things, learned about Asian culture more. And then we had been there 6 months when the tsunami hit. Everybody will remember Boxing Day, 26th day of December 2004. And so that started my process of being on the plane every 3 months for 10 days, going to Banda Aceh and working on the side of the beach and caring for people who were internally displaced. So whether they're refugees running from their country or their existence disappeared and they're standing there now and with nothing, where there had been villages and everything, the entire healthcare system, the hospitals, universities, schools, everything was just flattened. And all of a sudden, those who survived, and they were in such terrible shock. I believe that's the worst I ever saw in this really traumatic experience. So I flew in every 3 months for 10 days and helped care for people there for 2 years. And so I learned another level of this work. So, like I said, you can call them what you need to call them, but these are just folks for whatever reason. And I can tell you right now, whatever reason wasn't good. People don't leave their home and everything they've ever known, all their social capital, their family capital, everything about their life. They don't walk off and leave that because they want to go to Disney World. They don't do it by adventure and if this is to disaster and calamity. And so for as long as I've done this, and no matter where I've done it, the reasons are pretty much the same. Mm-hmm. And I do some teaching, do some classes on historical migration. So we'll walk back to the beginnings of time, depending on where you're looking at time, and people, being thrown out of the Garden of Eden, or Moses in the little basket in the Nile River, Mama hoping the princess won't cut his head off, but will raise him or take care of him. Mm-hmm. Desperate measures to survive. So whether it's my ancestry that came from Ireland and Germany and England and Scotland, famine, war, clan wars, or Native Americans who ran from armies running after them, no matter what it is, we all have the same, everybody has an immigration story.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we are a country of immigrants.
That's right, and it's a world of immigrants.
It is.
People move around. It just happens. So, what I try to do is level that playing field a little bit and inviting people to look at. Ask your grandparents, ask your mom. Y'all may not have had those conversations. Ask, do you know anything about our immigrant story? Mm-hmm. Have those conversations. And this, what we do here, because we are a majority minority state, and most people, as you'll see here, that are working here, they are Hispanics. And they have immigration stories, but they've not had those conversations. So when I send them back to talk to their grandmothers, I've had so many come back and say, these have been such healing conversations for them, and how giving that opportunity for them to speak their story and pass that on, because we know oral tradition, that's how we pass our values, our stories, our nursery rhymes, whatever, and this is an important piece that has been missing many times in people's immigration stories. And so it's been very healing, and especially when these younger workers here will come in and tell me, my grandma's so proud of what I'm doing. Yeah, and that's taking the worst that life can throw at you and turning it around and using it as a skill to help others make this journey that maybe it won't be as hard on them. We can just help somebody else, and somehow that brings some sort of peace and purpose to suffering.